Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us on another rendition of Arlette and Mike Talk. We are continuing our conspiracy theory segmented series, and we will be talking about the origins of man according to some conspiracy theories and speculations, and I guess some physical evidence to support such claims and ideas. I am your host, Michael Marcel, with host, co-host, Arlette Youssef. Hello, Arlette.
Hello.
Arlette, before we begin, I would just like to extend a welcome to all our listeners, both live and podcast archive, to follow us on the Instagrams at Arlette and Mike Talk. Let us know what you think about the show on Twitter at A&M Talk, and like us on Facebook. Become our friends. Let us know what you would like for us to speak about. And let us know what you think of our efforts. If you think we are full of shiny golden coin, let us know. But thank you all for joining us. It is always appreciated. So Arlette, let's start it. What do you know of the human origin outside of what do you know?
Outside of religion, I know that all the continents were one at first, and they were not Europe and America and Africa and Asia. It wasn't all separate. It was all one big hunk, one big house, pretty much. I know it's changed, obviously, and there's different theories as to why it's changed. But there is a comparison in Eastern history and origin, as well as Western history and origin. When you think about Aztecs and Mayans and all of that, a lot of the buildings that they built in that time resemble and took the same kind of work as pyramids in Egypt. So that kind of shows you that they were already on the same page. And if they were separate continents at the time, and you know, they were on the same page, that's kind of, it kind of gets debunked that way, because you think there's no way for one to know of the other. If there's no communication, they don't know that the other exists. They are just a civilization and building an empire and a life. But there's a lot of similarities, and the reasonable, logical answer, in my opinion, is that yes, you know, all the continents were one. I really do believe that. There's just too many similarities in building structure alone, not just even pyramid-like buildings, but also the huge statue figures that have huge human heads on animals and things like that. That was all similar as well. So,
okay.
I think it goes back further than we really know.
Okay. All right. So I'm late on you, like I lay peanut butter on my wheat toast. Okay. All right. So So what I thought was actually talking about was I guess the pre Earth, I guess, in the landmasses before it became what it is today. Now, yes, I mean that happened, but that was like millions and millions of years ago, billions of years ago, before it even broke apart. So I'm gonna get right into I'm gonna touch on some of the theories that are out there, some of the things that are floating around outside of Darwinian, the Darwinian concept of evolution and survival of the fittest. Yes, evolution is definitely a thing. It's not a theory; it is an actuality. There's proof of it all over the place. However, are we related to apes? I don't think so. You know that you remember that missing link? You remember that missing link that they found way back in the 1980s that turned out to actually be not the missing link between Homo erectus and Homo sapiens? No. The same thing. So you have theories coming from Zachariah Sitchin, from the great epics written by the Sumerian people, and the Sumerians were, Sumeria is what Babylon, modern day Babylon is. Or Iraq. But the Sumerians, they were the first civilization, as far as we are aware, that had a structured system of writing called cuneiform. And they tell of a great epic, they tell a great tale of these beings from the sky called the Nephilim, or the Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki are from a planet called Nibiru. And the Anunnaki, the Nephilim, came to Sumeria, or Sumer, and they helped the Sumerians, they showed them things, they actually, according to that tale, they created humans, and it was a little more than 200,000 years ago that they did this, and humans were originally supposed to be a slave race, a race that was created to mine mine for gold in Africa. The way the story goes is that the Anunnaki jumped ship from their planet to ours in their 3,600-year orbit when they came aligned with the Earth. And they jumped over here because their atmosphere was lacking gold, which was a vital part of their atmosphere. So they came here and created humans, and humans, I guess, at the time didn't reproduce, didn't do anything, but do as they were told. And there was a dispute. There's a dispute that took place amongst some of the Anunnaki while they were here, and I guess a civil rivalry type thing, and one of the slave humans ate of a fruit that was given to them to eat. I think her name was Eva. It was Eva and Adam, basically Adam and Eve. We'll call them Adam and Eve. But a fruit was given to Eve, and she ate of it, and she became like them. She perceived everything that they perceived, not necessarily to the heightened extent that they did, but she shared that fruit. She shared whatever was given to her to Adam, and they were the first two humans who were self-aware, self-actualized, and they made it, and they were watched by these people, and so on and so forth. That's the story. That's a story brought to you in part by Zachariah Sitchin. He has tons of books. I suggest you all go look him up and research him and see all the fun things he has to say. So many books. So it's not just them. There are several groups, several different types of people in the world that go along with the concept of genetic engineering, the taking of genetic material from these Elohim, these gods or these sky people. And they taking genetic material from primates, or I guess at the time, the Homo erectus, or the Neanderthal. There's a lot of different tales that go about it, like the Neanderthals and the Homo erectus, and these are all failed attempts to create a perfect specimen, which was us, which is I guess you guys can look at. That and I'll find a link for you. There was some genetic engineering of seven different races, seven different groups, seven different extraterrestrial beings. And the process of it was pretty intense, pretty deep. Apparently, there was some sacrificial type things taking place in order to create us. There were the Palladians, there were the Syrians, there were the Greys even. If you tuned into our last discussion, we talked about the Greys and how terrible they are. The reptilian races, who are they from the Andromeda galaxy? Jeez Louise, Marcel, and the brain farts. But anyway, they mixed and blended and created humans. And that is the short tale of the origin of man. Looking at archaeological discoveries, we know that the Sphinx, or at least it is debated that the Sphinx, and the Great Pyramids of Giza predate the time in which they are suggested to have been built. I believe the Sphinx is said to have been built in the 3200s AD, and the Sphinx shows signs of erosion as it hasn't rained in the Sahara for about 10,000 years. We believe that the Sphinx is actually closer to 12,000 years old. Modern science would tell us that humans, or rather civilizations, or humans as being civilized beings, we've only been civilized, quote unquote, civilized for less than 8,000 years. What Arlette was talking about earlier, and how there are so many similarities between different parts of the world. We have the Americas and Egypt. We have European structures. We have South American structures that parallel each other in design and structure. And they all were on the same plane, or, like, consciously, they were all on the same plane, or they had assistance from people watching them. Zachariah Sitchin's tales tell that after Adam and Eve had eaten of whatever was given to them, that they were observed and watched by the Anunnaki. They were guided, they were led, they were instructed and taught the things of this earth. That's just one version of many, many versions.
Yes, because as we all know, the Bible says that it was God that said, "Don't eat the apple," and it was
right,
Eve, and it was Adam. Yes. So again, it's just another version.
It's just another version. That's correct. And I wouldn't take the Bible's version, because the Bible's version parallels too closely with the Sumerians as well as the Egyptian tales of creation of life. Almost too. But there have been orbs, these metallic orbs, that were found in Africa that are set with grooves and spokes and all these really, really, really wonderfully crafted, that are a couple billion years old. There was a hammer. There are footprints. There are so many different articles that have been found that predate what modern science has told us of our existence and our life.
Well, and also, Michael, in the video that we had watched, don't forget that they did find a skeleton, more specifically a skull, of a modern body, a modern skull, but it was found so deep in the earth that it was dated back to, you know, pretty much the Stone Age and even before that. And so that contradicts what they say and what they think about the evolution of man, because if what they say is true about us evolving from ape, that kind of trumps over that, and it messes up their timeline. I do think we do evolve from apes. I don't know how necessarily. This is one of those things to where we can go in circles forever, especially with me involved, because I definitely go back and forth between science and religion and what I've been taught and what I see as evidence. But for them to see a modern skull in that time kind of just confuses the situation even further.
Well, not just that. You have Nazca skulls that were found, and it's several different types of skulls with elongated craniums. And I know that there are there are cultures out there that actually practice this art, as well as elongating their necks. As tribute to their gods, who I would only imagine had elongated skulls and elongated necks, i.e., Greys and others, the humans. We are old, but we are young. That makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense. We are old in that we have existed long before we know, and we are young in the fact that there's a huge chunk of civilization that we do not know. It's pretty much that our history starts at one point, and we are not knowledgeable on the fact that there was so much more prior to. There was just no record of it.
Well, there's also the repression or the suppression of facts and information, going back to our previous episode, and how there are government cover-ups for a series of things that are found. And because I guess they don't correlate with the plan of keeping things hidden for the Greys, who cannot succeed without disclosure, covers it up, doesn't agree with it. It's different. It's something hard to accept. And when people are present, no one likes hearing the truth. No one likes hearing things that jolt, that turns their fate upside down, because it's hard. We have attachment issues as humans. We have attachment issues. We need to let them go. Otherwise, we're all going to die.
Well, and I don't see it that way. I see it as, I mean, yes, there's attachment issues, of course, but I feel that any other species or existence in the universe, I feel like most of them would have attachment issues as well, except for, which ones are they, Michael? The ones that don't think emotionally and they just think logically?
The Greys. But they're not the only ones that operate in that sense. They're just the ones that we directly deal with.
Right.
And the reptilians, what they are, which I'm not type giving. Or ETs.
But looking at it from a different perspective, would they not also call us extraterrestrials?
No.
How would you say no? Because I see it as different planets, different species, different types of beings occupying as such, and so it's something foreign. It's something that each being, each existence wants to learn about.
They know of us because they created us. Our life. They don't call us extraterrestrials. They call us projects.
I don't know that I believe that.
Case studies.
I don't know that I believe that. I don't know that I believe that they created us. That's hard to digest for me.
Why? Why is it hard to digest? Why is it hard to digest?
That leads to the next question, and it continues and continues and continues. The next question of this is, okay, if they created us, who or what created them? And then once you get that answer, you already know what I'm about to say. Who or what created them? And so forth and so on. It never ends. So I do not believe. Mm-mm. No.
It does. You have to understand, Arla, the universe is 14 billion years old. We, according to how we measure the time frame of the Earth, we've only been around for 4 billion years, which means that closer to the center of the universe, close to the center of the epicenter of it all, life probably existed and evolved and grew and developed into whatever it became. And I guess the 10 billion year, the 11 billion years that they have over us, they have reached higher and higher heights in their evolutionary phase. And
that's contradicting.
How is it contradicting?
Clearly, our last episode, let me explain. Our last episode, we talked about the evidence that we had seen through our own research about these contracts made between the Greys and mankind to not show themselves and to not, you know, just come and go as they please and interact and all of that. So if they created us, if they created us, why would they, you know, abide by a contract with who they created? I'm not going to abide by a contract with my child.
They didn't directly create us. They didn't directly create us. So the seven different species that are within our one genetic sequence, it is a mix of four different races that are hybrid races. So they are a mix of two different races, mixing with three other different races of extraterrestrial beings, creating what we are today. And the Greys, it was made clear that they actually did not have any intention on studying us, studying our weaknesses and our strengths. Their intent was to manipulate us, plant their seed, take from our crevices, basically control us and use us for sustenance, not to study us, not to understand us.
So again, that does not answer the question, though. It doesn't. I wish you guys could see what he's doing right now. That does not answer the question.
So
the
who
question,
created them?
No. The question is if what you're saying is true, which I do not agree with, but if it is true, just for a second, I'll entertain it. Why would they sign any type of contract or make any sort of agreement to not show themselves and to not take over our planet and just commingle and everything? That doesn't make any sense.
For the Greys, specific to the Greys who are malevolent force, that was answered. They're not coexisting. They are simply here to do whatever it is that they came here to do, and whatever it was that they came here to do was not what they told us they were here to do.
So why, if all of that is true, why even try to go about some sort of agreement or some sort of permission or authorization by humans?
Because of the Galactic Alliance. The Galactic Federation. That's really what it comes down to. According to these theories, there are galactic guidelines. There are laws in which higher species need to abide by, and one of those things is interfering with a developing race.
Michael.
Yes.
If they indeed created us, that should not even exist.
They are one, and think about it like this, Arlette. Think about it like this. We have created through genetic engineering, we've created a goat. We have cloned a mammoth that's still growing. Those are just two beings that we've created that they've let us know about.
To clone, you have to have one to make a copy. But you're talking about Greys created humans. There was not one for them to make a copy of.
You just need the right genetic sequence in order to create. So if you have a series of different extraterrestrial beings that are humanoid and have certain characteristics and certain traits, and you take genetic coding from similar beings such as a primate or I guess the super version of us, the Neanderthals, which actually I guess depending on how you look at it, you have bits and pieces of a code that create something new. Genetic splicing. You take one thing and you create another one,
One second, Michael. All right, guys, we're about to go off the air in about a minute, but we are going to continue on with the show. You can actually listen to the rest of it as soon as we go off air. You just go and listen to the archive, and it'll let you hear the tail end of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in every week. We love you guys. We love that you're here. We love that you're suggesting episodes to us. It's really turning into such a beautiful, wonderful creation. And it's all because of you guys. So thanks again. And I'm Arlette.
And Mike. I'm Mike.
This is Arlette and Mike Talks. But go ahead, Mike. Continue on.
Okay. Sorry, Arlette. So it's one of the reasons why we have seedless grapes. You take from one plant, you take from something else that's similar to create what it is that you want. It's one of the reasons why we have, it's the whole thing about GMOs, GMO products, genetically modified organisms is what they're called. That's what a GMO is. And we are GMOs. Humans are GMOs, according to the theory. We are GMOs.
Okay, but Mike, it still takes you back in a circle. It still takes you back to, if they created us, why do they need some sort of agreement or permission from us to be
because
here?
Because they have authoritative, just like we have laws and guidelines that we have to follow, they also have laws and guidelines that they have to follow. They make contact with our governments by accident. I guess apparently, or at least the graves, when we're talking about the graves, it happened accidentally. I guess not including whatever took place further on. And again, I don't know what their motives was. I don't know what their original motive was for making first contact in the first place. There were several ships that crash landed and we recouped them and whatever else we did with them. But it's these laws, it's these rules. And they didn't directly create us. They didn't directly create us. I think as the tale goes, the individuals who had a direct hand in creating us were the Palladians, the Syrians, and I keep forgetting the ones from the Andromeda galaxy. Freaking A.
There's certainly
the Archon.
There's certainly much more to it, Mike. There's a whole lot more to it.
We'll dish it out. Hand it over.
I'm saying there's so much more to it beyond our knowledge. I mean, at one point, everything that we're even talking about tonight was unknown to man. So, you know,
it wasn't. And that's also a thing. And I guess that's another directive altogether, because it wasn't unknown to man. And you can see that in the iconographics that are written on the walls in caves and the cuneiform on the cuneiform tablet. Excuse me. You can see it in the hieroglyphs. You can see it in stone statues. You can see it all throughout ancient antiquity. You can see it all throughout antiquity that these individuals knew that they weren't alone. All throughout antiquity, they followed the stars. They looked at the stars. They knew where everything was. There's an African tribe called the Dogon. All right, and they speak of extraterrestrial race that favors the manatees and dolphins and whales. Apparently, they're all from the Sirius star system, and they were taken into one of their ships and shown our galaxy, and they accurately illustrated how our galaxy looks like, and they accurately illustrated the Sirius star system, both with Sirius A and Sirius B, and how they orbit one another in a double helix. They knew about DNA before we knew about DNA. They knew, and they still tell the tale of what they knew, what they know. There is tales as to why we have seemed to have forgotten everything, and a lot of our history, a lot of the things that actually are in the last actually are have been destroyed or buried, and has been buried because of the victors of history, the Crusades, the Islamic Crusades, if you will. I guess it would call it Crusades, but you have the European conquest. You have all these individuals who have their own points of view of what was and what should be, and destroyed anything that questioned their belief, that questioned their system.
Well,
we knew,
of course, there was the book burning. There was the ancient book burning that we've all heard about. you know, so you're right. There is a lot of destruction of evidence.
If you do any esoteric studies.
But there's also lost cities and buried cities and cities that are now in the ocean. That's what I'm saying. There's so much more that's under the surface. Going back to something you said just a few minutes ago, yes, they were all astrologers. The three wise men, they were absolutely astrologers. They knew exactly where to go just by the stars, just like a lot of other types of people. You know, they wouldn't go by a clock or a watch or anything like that. They did focus on the sun and the stars and, you know, summer solstice and winter solstice and what have you. So, but what I'm saying is there's still so much more than what we know. And if mankind knew something at one point, they don't know it anymore. And yes, it could be due to the lack of documentation or the destruction of documentation, but it could also be due to something else, something bigger that we have no idea about. It could be something that it just keeps making me think of the movie Men in Black, you know, how they would zap someone just to make them forget. Something like that. I don't mean literally like that, but I feel like something crazy like that, some sort of anomaly.
You are definitely you're piking up something that actually is. It's actually a thing. And what we did know, that information has been passed along in the esoteric text. So if you study any esoteric text, you have this knowledge of the ancients passed along. Now, if anyone has any understanding of what the precession of the equinox is, you'll understand why it is that humanity, for some reason, has seemed to go backwards in their understanding of our connection with the universe and all things and the great fall from wherever we were. There's apparently, so it happens every 26,000 years, there is a galactic shift. There is a shift that takes place, and it follows 3 days of darkness, 3 days of complete darkness. And within this 3 days of darkness, if you do not prep yourself or if you're not in a vessel or a ship that can protect you from the effects of whatever creates this 3 day period of darkness, you essentially you basically are being wiped. It's almost like an EMP for your brain. And that's what happened about 10,000 years ago and we had to relearn everything again. And these beings, whomever they are, were there to assist us. Is how the story goes.
So when is the next one?
It's supposed to happen. A couple years ago.
What does that tell you?
If you look at our. Typically, our magnetic field or our poles, they do shift. This is documented in history that our poles have actually shifted. This is part due to the precession of the equinox. If you look at how our electromagnetic field is shifting, you will see a gradual increase within the last 100 years from where it was to where it is now, and it's moving at a much faster rate than what initially it should be moving. So, you know, there's that. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be an immediate shift, like immediate continental shift. Not continental. We'll say continental ships. A wrapped continental ship. But things are said to happen in such a way again and kind of reboot this planet. And there's just a lot. There's a lot on it. And there are answers. The answers are out there. You just have to seek them out.
That's true, but any answer that you find leads to more questions.
Right, which is great. And you should answer those questions. Every question that I've had, I've received the answers to, or a series of answers that may be potential. And I go where I flow, you know? I go where I flow, you know what I'm saying?
I think that concludes our show. What do you think?
I think, sure. We've attached a couple of videos to the description for you to check out. There was a special that was broadcasted on NBC, I believe in the early, late 1990s, hosted by Charlton Heston. We attached links to those videos. The Mysterious Origin of Humans is the name of it. You can watch part one and part two. And there's also a link there from a really, really educational called Spirit Science on the human origin. I suggest you guys check it out and inform yourself some. If it poses more questions for you, I suggest you guys go ahead and do the research, look into it, see what's going on, see what's happening. Open up your mind to the possibilities of what is. And that's that.
Yeah, man.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, you can follow us on Twitter at ANMTalk. You can follow us on Instagram at Arlette and Mike Talk, and join us on Facebook at Arlette and Mike Talk.
Yeah, dude, totally.
Sure. Any last words from your mouth, young lady?
Nah, dude, nah.
I play her toes. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you'd like to hear from us. Tell us about your life.
And we're off.
All right. Good night. Good morning.
See ya. Next week.
Ciao.
Same time.